You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, you gotta unmute the microphone if you want to talk into it. You gotta put down the ducky if you want to play the saxophone. Oh my gosh, today has been very exciting. The WWDC keynote presentation just ended a few minutes ago. Lots of excitement, cool things going on there. I went and grabbed something to drink and a quick bite to eat, and then I was like, oh no! I gotta hurry up. There's news to be done. So anyway, hello. It is 1910 UTC, not 1900. Sorry, we're late. I'm late today. But it is 1910 UTC on a beautiful Monday, June the 5th, 2023, and it is currently, let's see, it's 84 degrees American or 29 degrees C here in Austin, Texas, and if you want to hang out and chat during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to tty.sdf.org or just sdf.org if you want. Just once you have an account, you can launch COM, C-O-M, and then once you've launched it, you can go type G for go to and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and boom, you will land in the Anon Radio room where you'll get to hang out with cool people like LCD and User FXNet, as long as ByteMe8827, aka Flipper, Jay Lamothe Stug. Yes, exactly. I'm sorry, Stug. Your fist did call me to the radio, I guess, is what happened there. But no, I watched the keynote and then I went and grabbed something to eat real quick, scarf something down. Alrighty. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're not here talking about the WWDC. We're here to talk about death and destruction and all the battles.
Stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Just stop trying to hit me and hit me. Yeah. So check this out. We've got lots of death and destruction to talk about. So we'll jump right in. And we begin the way we pretty much always do. And that, my friend, is with
world news.
Yeah. UserFXNet. Howdy. I hope you're network is okay. I think my listening to Anon Radio glitch is only on my phone, so I blame my broadband provider, my mobile carrier, for that. Anyway, let's get it going. First, the really big death. 275 people dead. They're no longer alive. Moms, dads, families, children. The derailment in eastern India that killed 275 people and injured hundreds was caused by an error in the electronic signaling system that led a train to wrongly change tracks and crash into a freight train on Sunday. Authorities worked to clear the mangled wreckage of the two passenger trains that derailed Friday night in the Balasore district in Odisha state in one of the country's deadliest rail disasters in decades. An Odisha government statement revised the death toll to 275 after someone else said it was 300. The officer spoke on condition of anonymity as he was not authorized to speak to reporters. A senior railway official said the preliminary investigations revealed that a signal was given to the high-speed Coromandel Express to run on the main track line, but the signal later changed and the train instead entered an adjacent loop line where it rammed into a freight loaded with iron ore. The collision flipped Coromandel's Express's coaches onto another track, causing the incoming Yesvantpur Howrah Express from the opposite side to also derail. The passenger trains were carrying 2,296 people, and they weren't going over speed. Trains that carry goods are often parked on an adjacent loop line, so the main line is clear for a passing train. Verma said the root cause of the crash was related to an error in the electronic signaling system. She said a detailed investigation will reveal whether the error was human or technical. The electronic interlocking system is a safety mechanism designed to prevent conflicting movements between trains. It also monitors the status of signals that tell drivers how close they are to another train. how fast they can go, and the presence of stationary trains on the track. System is 99.9% error-free, but 0.1% chances are always there. Just a real sad loss of life there. But huge destruction, just absolutely massive, hard to picture in your mind. And while we're in India, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you this story. A suspension bridge being built in India's poorest state collapsed for the second time in 14 months, with one person reported missing. The bridge was being built over the River Ganges in the Bhagalpur district of India's eastern state of Bihar. Construction was scheduled to be completed in 2019, but faced multiple delays, including those caused by an earlier collapse on April 30th last year. There was a massive stir over here. It feels like there was a blast. Later we found out the bridge collapsed. 8 men were on the bridge at the time of its collapse on Sunday, with one guard reported missing. So, yeah. India is having a bit of a trouble with its infrastructure, and less of life going on there. Now, politically, 8 people are now dead in South Africa. Gunmen burst into a room at a men's hostel near eastern South African city of Durban, killing 8 people and leaving 2 others injured. It was the latest mass shooting in the country. 7 men were declared dead immediately after the shooting, and an 8th man died on Sunday. 2 others are hospitalized with injuries, and they include a man who jumped out of the window of the hostel room to escape the gunfire. Police say the 12 men were in the room drinking alcohol when numerous gunmen broke in. 2 of the men were unhurt. South Africa is among the 10 countries with the highest homicide rates in the world, and there's been a spate of mass shootings in recent years. A child was among the 10 family members were killed at a house in April. 8 were shot dead in a birthday party in January. So these are issues in South Africa, other people dying. So yeah, pretty sad and dangerous stuff. They don't know why those 8 people were killed even. Now, this image is a little disturbing, which is why I'm sharing it in calm, and if you want to check it out, you can check it out at sdf.org/l/w3. That's sdf.org/lima/whiskey3, the number 3, sdf.org/l/w3. If you go there, you'll see an image, but it's for this story. Hong Kong woman arrested after confessing to killing 3 young daughters at home. The Hong Kong police on Monday arrested a woman who confessed to killing her 3 daughters, aged 2, 4, and 6, inside their flat. Initial investigations showed that the woman called the police around 11 a.m., claiming her husband had stabbed her and her 3 daughters inside their flat. The South China Morning Post described the 29-year-old woman as a Hong Konger with Indian roots. Police went to the scene and looked for the husband, who delivers food for a living, but they soon discovered that the woman and her daughters had not been stabbed. The 3 girls were taken to Caritas Medical Center, where they died. Doctors there reported the girls did not have knife wounds and seemed to have been suffocated. A source quoted by the SCMP said the woman later confessed to killing her daughters and that she seemed to be suffering from a mental illness. She said she'd been babbling and talking about ghosts. Hey, Buns, what's up? Buns is back in calm. Making the rounds. And Stug, user FXNet's hanging out. Yeah. So yeah, this image was just a little disturbing to me, just because it's, to describe it to you, a woman is being led out with a black sack over her head with eye holes cut out, and her eyes, the whites of her eyes are clearly visible, which makes it very, her eyes stand out in a shocking way. She's being led away by 2 women holding her arms, 3 men are behind her, 1 man's in front, and then a policeman is in the foreground. So a lot of cops for this lady. So anyway, that's not the only baby death that we're going to talk about, though. Nay. Kathleen Folbig, woman jailed over infant deaths, has been pardoned. A woman once branded Australia's worst female serial killer has been pardoned after new evidence suggests she did not kill her 4 infant children. Kathleen Folbig spent 20 years in prison after a jury found she killed sons Caleb and Patrick and daughters Sarah and Laura over a decade. But a recent inquiry heard scientists believe they may have died naturally. The 55-year-old's case, can you imagine spending your 30s to your mid-50s in prison for something you didn't do? Oh, Terrible, horrible nightmare there. The 55-year-old's case has been described as one of Australia's greatest miscarriages of justice. Ms. Fulbig, who has always maintained her innocence, was jailed for 25 years in 2003 for the murders of three children and the manslaughter of her first son. Each child died suddenly between 1989 and 1999, between 19 days and 19 months old. Previous appeals and separate inquiry into the case found no grounds for reasonable doubt and gave greater weight to circumstantial evidence. Let's see. Her case has been compared to that of Lindy Chamberlain, who in 1982 was found guilty of the murder of her 9-week-old daughter, despite her claim that a dingo had taken the baby. She was awarded $1.3 million Australian dollar settlement in 1992 for her wrongful conviction. I think, is that where a dingo ate your baby joke came from? I don't know. But, serving time for what you didn't do is pretty rough. Killing your children is also pretty alarming. But anyway, we've got both cases here. We're not done. There are still children dying. Sorry, that was the wrong drums.
Ouch!
3-year-old Palestinian boy shot by Israeli soldiers dies in a hospital. You know, something that the Uvalde shootings reminded me of a year ago was that children, if they're shot with regular bullets, you know, their little arms and legs, their arms and legs are so small, they can just get lopped right off by just a bullet. So it's always wild to me whenever someone shoots a child. Anyway, a 3-year-old Palestinian boy has died in the hospital 4 days after he was shot in the head by Israeli soldiers while riding in a car with his father. Mohammed Al-Tamimi was airlifted to the Sheba Hospital near Tel Aviv after the incident on Thursday night and remained in critical condition until medical officials announced his death on Monday. His father, Haitham Al-Tamimi, age 40, is still being treated at a Palestinian hospital. His injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. The IDF, or Israeli Defense Forces, said troops had opened fire near the village after Palestinian gunmen fired shots towards a guard post. Tamimi told reporters there had been no other gunfire and that he had just buckled up his son in order to drive to an uncle's house. Bilal Al-Tamimi, a local activist, told the Palestinian news agency WAFA, or WAFA, that the incident was part of an IDF operation in which soldiers had shut the village's entrance. So, we'll just go on with that. It's a bit rough. Hey, Lakina, welcome and goodbye. I hope you have a good day. Oh, buddy, it's frustrating. Well, don't worry. We're done with the child death, at least. I wish I had a soothing sound. Alas, I don't. Let's see, do I have anything soothing? Let's see, is this soothing? No, that's not soothing at all. Nope, alright, forget it. We're not gonna try. Hey, Overland! Took a dump, getting all that juicy com history. Alright, anyway, what do we got going on? A 25-year-old woman was killed and 6 others injured in Chicago after shots rang out during a remembrance for the death anniversary of a man who died in a car crash. Bystanders told the Chicago Police Department that the altercation unfolded around 1 a.m. in the 4800 block of West Iowa Street in Austin, Texas. Excuse me, is this in Austin? Might be. Might be my town. In Austin, the group was gathered to celebrate the 4-year anniversary of a man's death in a traffic accident. 7 victims were wounded in the shooting. A woman was transported to Mount Sinai. No, it's not in Austin, Texas. Mount Sinai Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. The ages of the other victims injured range from 17 to 19. Yeah, it says Austin, but it didn't say what city or what state. Is it Chicago? Oh, Chicago. Okay. Now it all makes sense. Hey, Afog, welcome, welcome. All right, so a lot of people died. Now, Austin, Texas. I mentioned this guy before, the guy that called and said, my name is Raul Meza and you're looking for me, who was a serial killer in Austin. We had 2 deaths. Well, he confessed to murdering 2 people, But he's being investigated now for a dozen more. He was a convicted child rapist and was arrested last month. So those were the pieces of new information that I didn't have when we talked about it. Dozen more murders, and apparently he is a rapist. So all terrible things, but just an update. Oh, golly, we've only got about 6 minutes to go before the Dubious Skulls Committee with Tobe, a show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, and you pretty much will never hear about mass murder or sexual assault on the Dubious Skulls Committee, because that show is more about dudes and Tobe and hanging out with Pippa and doing synthesizer stuff and making stuff and candy and kaiju. Just any, there's so much. The Dubious Skulls Committee is a fun time. You want to tune in at 1930 UTC. Hey, user FXNet, and Overland. Oh, sorry, I thought somebody was there. But yeah, DGC is a good chaser for news because it's a calming, soothing show. Tiananmen Square, Hong Kong police detained activists on the anniversary of the massacre. That's just a little note there for you. And Senegal, the country of Senegal, has suspended mobile internet access. Senegal's government temporarily suspended mobile phone data on Sunday as the country reels from days of deadly clashes between police and the supporters of opposition leader Ousmane Sonko. The Ministry of Communication said that because of diffusion of subversive messages in the context of public disorder, cell phone internet data will be suspended. So people were organizing using mobile internet, and so it got turned off. So let's talk about nuclear stuff. We've got about 4 minutes to go before Synth Day, so I might sneeze. Ooh, buddy, there it went. Let's talk about some nuclear stuff real quick. There's so much more news, but I want to get this out at least. Hey, LNTL, Lima November Tango Lima, welcome. And Shriver, you took off. Thanks for being here while you were. Trump-era officials under fire as nuclear funds for Bikini Islanders was squandered. Former staff have lashed the U.S. Department of the Interior for failing to predict that a 2017 decision to lift oversight from a $59 million trust fund for Pacific Islanders displaced by American nuclear testing would lead to the fund's exhaustion through mismanagement and fraud. So yeah, the United States, let's see if we do this. The U.S. government established the fund in the 1980s to support displaced residents of Bikini Atoll, a small reef in the Pacific nation of the Marshall Islands. The U.S. left uninhabitable after it tested 23 nuclear weapons there between 1946 and 1958. Until recently, the fund provided several million dollars each year to a council that oversaw the displaced Bikinians, helping to provide housing, food, and education in a country where the median income is $9,600, and almost half of households skip meals due to lack of money. In 2016, however, Anderson Jebus was elected mayor of the Bikinian Council and began pushing the Interior Department to hand over control of the fund. In 2017, Douglas Dominic, who Donald Trump had appointed an assistant Interior Secretary, announced the department would hand over control of the fund to restore trust and ensure that sovereignty means something. Earlier this month, the New York Times reported the fund had been whittled down to about $100,000, so they spent $59 million in 7 years, largely through extravagant spending by Jebus on projects including land developments in Hawaii, new ships and planes, and an apartment complex. Annual bank statements reviewed by The Guardian show that some of the money was dispersed directly from the trust fund to the vendors with whom Jebus and other local officials were negotiating. Because those disbursements were direct, they allowed the fund's trustees to exercise a measure of oversight. The statement also shows that the American lawyer, Gordon Benjamin, instructed trustees to disperse large sums of money to a Bank of Guam checking account that was being used for council operations, but then trustees couldn't scrutinize it. They sent $15.36 million there, and when asked about the Guam account, Jebus said in a written statement that he had no idea what we were talking about. So yeah, we've only got 2 minutes to go, but yeah, this is just really sad. The United States destroyed this country, this small little island, with its nuclear bomb testing. There's not enough time. There is a big disaster coming. Solar panels are creating a lot of waste as they're being As they're going out of use, people aren't recycling them, so landfills are filling up with billions of solar panels. What are we going to do with them all? And I don't know if I told you guys about this, so I really wanted to mention it. Westinghouse Electric Company and Lunar Landers and Rovers developer Astrorobotic signed a memorandum of understanding to explore collaboration on space technology programs for NASA and the U.S. Department of Defense. That means we're going to be getting nuclear batteries up on the moon sometime in the future, if everything goes according to plan. So anyway, we're out of time, so please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee and everything else going on, Harry, Larry, and all of that. Thanks for being here. I'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end.